Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is a preview episode for the match part three, little Thanksgiving week special. Greg Ducharme is here to help me break this all down. Greg, happy Thanksgiving week. Gobble, gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving week to everybody, all the listeners, you, Kyle, and you, Rick and Jacob, of course, and Mark, who's not with us today. It all seems that we've done at least an episode from our mother's basement today. That today I'm joining into the party.
It's your turn.
Happy to be here. My turn.
Love it. Kyle Porter also here. KP, happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, you too. I think I've done an episode from my mom's basement, my mother-in-law's basement, a random doc, a couple of friends. Yeah, doc, a boat doc. That might have been DJ's doc. You guys don't know even where I was.
Ooh.
At early. I think maybe more excited about, we're going to talk about the match day. I think I might be more excited about this one than the other two.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, there's no better time than now. Tell me why. Let's jump into this.
I think that, and I was reading this article on CNBC, and it was the executive producer. I can't remember his name, but he was talking about how, he's like, look, everybody wants Tiger at these things. He's the best ever, and that's true. That, although we can talk about his career being overrated, he is the best ever. He goes, we're trading the best golf ever for maybe the worst golf ever. But I was glad he brought this up because I think this is instructive. The point of these things is not like to hit. Nobody cares really about like the golf shots you're hitting. It's like, was it entertaining? Was it funny? And the first one was not at all. I mean, Tiger and Phil, and like they didn't talk. It was kind of weird.
Yep.
The last one, the one in May was better. But I think this one with Peyton and Barkley and, I don't know. I think it could be kind of a circus, which is what I'm all about.
Well, it is interesting. You're absolutely right. I'd love to bring Greg in on this. The first match was boring, right? I mean, those guys didn't even really talk to each other. The fact that they didn't have earpieces, all that stuff. And then we talked about this in May when you inject Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, Greg, he becomes your de facto host, right? So he can kind of keep this whole thing going. It is now more about entertainment than it is about the golf, which is a much different wrinkle. And we had Charles, right? We had Charles in the booth in May. He's in everybody's ear. Now he's got to put his money where his mouth is and actually hit some golf shots.
You know, it's funny to think about. We so quickly forget about this, but I think it's a really important element. What's the purpose of these? The purpose of the first match was these guys were going to go play for $9 million, right? So is that about entertainment? If that's about entertainment, it paints a picture that this is it's not a winner take all bet for $9 million. If you were going to play for $9 million, you would take it pretty seriously, and I wouldn't care at all if anybody thought it was entertaining. I want my $9 million, right? So the purpose changed in the second rendition of the match, which I think is important to note. It changed dramatically, and you could argue it changed for the better. From a viewer's perspective, it definitely changed for the better. It was so much more entertaining. The broadcast learned so much about how to cover it, and it became a show that was worth more than just the golf. And that has led to the opportunity now to have guys that aren't PGA Tour players play, and people are going to watch a golf tournament that's not necessarily PGA Tour players. It's interesting.
The $9 million thing they chipped off a putting green for $9 million. Like it was,
it's a good point.
you either have to take it really seriously or not seriously at all. And they were in this like weird middle space where it was for $9 million, but they were also chipping off a putting green for the championship. So I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad that they've shifted more to, hey, it's just like it's an entertainment product. I saw an article where talking about maybe rotating in guys like Patrick Mahomes and like getting other quarterbacks involved. Like that's the direction that this should head, because then you bring in Chiefs fans, you bring in Buccaneers fan, or what, I don't know, who's a Tom Brady fan. You bring in, you know, fans of football that are like, oh, I want to see Tom Brady or whoever hit some golf shots. And I think that's kind of the value of a product like this.
Well, I think it, to that point, Kyle, it makes golf cool. All of a sudden your hero, if you're a 10-year-old kid and you're a huge football fan, and all of a sudden your favorite player, Patrick Mahomes, or maybe it's Peyton Manning or Steph Curry, is playing in a golf match and they're having fun, well, it might inspire you to go play the game, take up the game, follow the game, learn who Phil Mickelson really is. I know many people know already, but there's likely a football fan out there who's not familiar with Phil, and they're going to get a chance to see him and see how fun he is. And it can open up a whole new world. So I think that's where the value to the game goes. But I do think it's important to keep some tour presence involved, at least one, if not two players in the future.
Can you imagine them doing this in the, like the opposite sport, like Phil trying to play corner?
Have you seen Phil throw a football?
Yes.
He's a laser, just a cannon.
Yeah.
But put his arm up against Patrick Mahomes' arm, no, and it doesn't look so much like a cannon.
Phil trying to like cross over Andre Iguodala.
Well, it's funny, you know, we mentioned the entertainment aspect of this, but this there's a much larger charitable aspect to the second and third matches as well. This one is contributions towards highlighting diversity, equality, and inclusion at HBCUs, which is historically Black colleges and universities, while also providing meals through Feeding America this holiday season, Greg. So just to put a bow on, this is a completely different, I mean, it was gluttonous to watch two guys play for $9 million from a chipping green. This is kind of the total opposite of that.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because we're kind of looking at this from a viewer's completely selfish perspective. And what they've done is the first one benefiting COVID relief, right, and this one now with this benefit, and all of a sudden it's far less gluttonous. Now it doesn't feel like two rich guys playing to get richer. It feels like, you know, this has a beneficial cause. So I feel a lot less guilty about enjoying watching this. I feel a lot less guilty about talking about how to bet on it when it goes to a good cause. So it's definitely a good thing.
The format for this time is modified alternate shot, 18 holes of it. They played 9 holes of this in the match 2. It'll be a full 18 of modified alternate shot, which means every single player will tee off, and then the teams will decide which shot they want to use off the tee, and it'll be alternate shot after that. The teams are Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley, and the other side being Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Guys, we should probably just go, like, let's go one by one here. Let's go through these four guys. Let's see what's going on. Let's start with the most known entity. That is Phil Mickelson. Kyle, he has not been good on the PGA Tour, but I cannot stress enough, this is entirely different. He is going to be head and shoulders, bar none, by far the best player on the course on Friday.
Well, he hasn't been good on the PGA Tour, but he has been good on the Champions Tour. And we think about these guys being big names, especially like Steph and Peyton. And I think because they're like famous names, we liken them to like PGA Tour Pro. And it's not, you're not within like standard DBA. I mean, Steph's pretty good, but it's still not perfect. And as bad as Phil's been on the PGA Tour, and we'll get to the odds or whatever in a minute. I think you might, I don't know. I want to talk through the format because I was a little confused by it. I understand it more now. I thought that Phil was going to have to rely on Barkley on like some of the shots. He's not. He could theoretically play the entire thing himself.
No, he can't. He's going to have to. So if they use his tee shot, Charles is going to have to hit all of his approach shots.
So they do. Okay. Okay. So he does have to rely on Barkley.
He does.
Yes.
Now that's they can. It's going to be a problem. We'll talk about Charles in a second. And yes, obviously a lot of strategy comes into play because Greg, if Barkley can get you, I don't even know what is realistic, 180, 200 yards off the tee. Can he find a fairway? Is it worth having Phil hit your second shot in that situation? Because the second shot is so valuable. Like there is some level of strategy around this.
The difficulty in handicapping this is you don't know what the hole looks like going forward. So, for instance, a 220-yard approach shot from Phil Mickelson is probably going to be better on average than a shot. I don't even know what the number is.
From Peyton Manning from 160 yards.
Well, in terms of Chuck, right? Where is he? Where does it become worthy for to use Phil's tee shot if Chuck's in play? If Barkley's in play, you almost have to use Phil's second shot because what's the yardage? Is it 60 yard from 60 yards? Are you going to trust Charles Barkley? No. Are you going to trust him from third? So you get to the question: can he putt? The difference is can he putt? If Charles Barkley can putt, I'm okay with it. So that's where the line gets drawn. What's the golf course look like? If you're talking about an island green, you can't have Charles Barkley hit the approach shot. You can't do it. So Phil has to hit that approach shot. This is where it gets extremely challenging. But if they can position it where Charles Barkley's shots that count are putts, right? Or maybe it's a hybrid bump and run. They have some strategy that can get them away from disaster. They have a chance, but this is a lot of stress on a guy. Your weak link in this is as unpredictable as it gets. It's more unpredictable than Phil Mickelson is on the PGA Tour. So,
I need Mark Brody on some of Barkley's games. I mean, that's just like, Can Brody even calculate that?
Oh, okay. So let's talk about Barkley. He has guaranteed victory in this match, which is just the best thing ever. And someone went back and, you know, he does that, you know, NBA on TNT and went back to calculate all the times that Charles Barkley has guaranteed something. He's like 12.3% in getting it right. So guarantees, not all that great for Chuck, but Here's the case I actually want to make about Charles Barkley, because I know for the last decade, he has been a punching bag. He has been the guy that everyone laughs at with his golf swing. Kyle, that hitch in his swing that we all remember, that doesn't exist anymore. He is still a very bad golfer, but he is nowhere near as bad as he was, call it 6 years ago.
So here's the problem. I was reading an article on Golf Digest. I think it was today. I think Dave Shabosky wrote it. It was good. He talked to Charles, and you had texted us a video that where Barkley had played one hole
right
after the last match with Justin Thomas, and he didn't look that bad. Like it wasn't great, but it was serviceable. I mean, it was something that Phil could have won with. I think
super.
The problem is that. And this is what Barkley said in the interview. This was, I think, 2 days ago, maybe yesterday. He said when the camera turns on, so that got filmed and posted later. It wasn't a lie.
Right.
So when the camera turns on, he gets anxious or whatever, and the hitch comes back. So I'm interested. I think you're right. I can't believe I'm talking seriously about Charles Barkley's golf. A lot better than he used to be. I just get concerned that he sees that red light and it's back to the, you know, just Curry said needing a 24-second shot clock to get his swing off.
It is interesting that, yeah, right. They filmed that segment, they recorded it, or they posted it later because they were running into daylight issues, Greg, if you remember, at the match too. But like he hits a pretty poor a tee shot, but he gets it out there in the fairway. He lays up, he hits a wedge into the green, and then he three putts. Like, it wasn't pretty, but it is. I will contend, and if the hitch comes back, everything's off. Just throw it all out the window. But I contend that he's not as bad as at golf.
I believe that. But still, what do you trust in? Like, what do you have to do to beat Peyton Manning and Steph Curry? I mean, Steph Curry is a really good player, and Peyton Manning was incredibly reliable. So these guys are going to be able to make scores.
I don't know that I see the path to Charles and Phil winning.
I don't see a path. Because there's too much to trust, and it's match play. So you're just going to – one bad shot and the hole's – you lose the hole. Because the bad shot for Charles Barkley is not the bad shot for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning hits it in the bunker, they get it up and down, or they don't, and they make a bogey or they make a par. Charles Barkley can hit it 3 feet. I mean, he could injure Phil. He could take Phil out. So this is I don't see the path. Here's the other thing, Rick, I wanted to bring up. That hole that he played with Justin Thomas. Yeah. The 18th hole at Medalist, if you're trying to make a bogey, right? You're not trying to make a birdie. You're just trying to make a bogey. It's not that hard because you have water to the right, up the whole right side. It's a wide fairway, but the left side of the hole tilts. It tilts down to the right, so you can hit it up the left almost as far as you want, and it's just going to feed back to the middle. Right, exactly. And you just do that again, and you do it again. And on your second shot, if you miss left, even you're going up to the driving range, and it's not out of bounds. It's fine. You can stay away from the water there and make a bogey or double relatively easily. You can avoid all the trouble. I just don't know what this golf course brings. And if it gives you that kind of width and you can play extremely safe, that would be where these guys give them a run. But other than that, it's not going to be pretty.
The problem is, I think it's a distance problem. He just hits these ground balls and Phil's going to have just forever. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what tees are. I don't know what any of this is going to look like. But he'll hit like a 130-yard ground ball, and then Phil's got like 270. I mean, I don't know. It's just Phil's going to have to be kind of on from deep to even have a chance, I think.
I'll try to lay out a case for Phil and Chuck later. But let's talk about the other side of this. Steph Curry, Peyton Manning. Steph Curry, he's – got to be the best athlete that we've seen injected in one of these. I mean, his game is real. He's pretty long off the tee. The swing looks good. He's played in a couple of Korn Ferry Tour events. He's played that Ellie Mae Classic, Greg, a couple of times. Now, he went 71-86 in his two rounds. I think it was 2 years ago. And everything that I've seen, his long game, pretty legit. The closer he gets to the green, he's still much better than I, much better than the average, but he's not like, I mean, Korn Ferry guys would wipe the floor with him, but he leaves himself with a lot of five footers for par. That's a lot of stress on me. He can knock those in, but it's really impressive stuff what he's able to do.
He's really good. I mean, if you can shoot a 71 in a professional golf event, if you could shoot 71 in a tournament, it's really challenging to do. For players that are not tournament golfers, right? Like, I'm not a tournament golfer. I don't play a regular schedule of tournaments. If you're like that, when you do play in a tournament, it's completely different. And that's why when you keep track of your handicap, there are a couple of ways you track the course you play. You play your home course, you play an away course, a course that is not your home course, or a tournament. And the tournament is your score counts for more, in essence. So to be able to shoot a 71 in a professional tournament is extremely impressive, and it speaks to the talent. To shoot an 86 in a professional tournament is not a detractor of anything other than the fact that he's not a professional golfer. So we can all understand that, but I think you're going to see some real talent. You're going to see a light Steph Curry. I think you're going to see him play really well. And he's going to make it really hard on Phil.
Couple of things. Kyle, have you ever seen Holy Moly?
No. What?
Oh, the mini putt. The mini putt. I've only seen the commercials for it.
It's the mini golf game on, I think it's on, I don't know what that network it is. ABC, sorry, CBS. So it's holy moly. Steph Curry is like an executive producer on this. It's like extreme mini golf. Have you ever seen this?
No.
It is like Wipeout and mini golf is the way okay. that I would.
I've seen a preview for it. I've never watched it.
Okay. So I believe Steph is an executive producer. It's a lot of fun. Also, what I love about Steph Curry is I feel like he plays golf kind of in the same way that he plays basketball, or at least what I've noticed in the highlights. He's like Ricky Fowler-esque in trying to run these putts in from like 5 and 10. He's taking his shots, baby. Like he's not going to hesitate on a three, and he is not going to leave one short on the putting greens. He's going to take a crack at it.
Yeah, I think him and Peyton are going to kind of pair well together. I mean, I don't know. I went into the second match not really having high expectations of Peyton, but he was pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He's better than I thought he was.
He was probably the most impressive one, right? I mean, he was just super solid.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's a little bit my point of like, if Steph wants to make some runs and Peyton can be like pretty steady, I think they can. I mean, it might be a Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson situation here. It might just be a whole out for Phil and Charles.
Peyton's really reliable. The golf swing's really reliable. And, we took a look at his swing during the match too, and it's got a really stable club face. And for a guy who's, again, not a tournament player, it's really effective, and he's going to keep the ball in front of him. And you're not going to see a lot of curve on a Peyton Manning shot, especially to the right. You'll see some, he'll draw it. He'll hit some draws. He's a shut face player, but he's not going to hit very many to the other way. He's not going to hit many to the right. So that's really beneficial. You have a really steady player. And a guy like Steph, who feels like he's at least is really confident, and he should be. He's a plus handicap. So I think they're going to be a good team, a formidable opponent.
The thing that Peyton has going for him is probably just plays golf all the time. You know, like no other responsibilities, right? Besides the commercials, like Steph Curry still has to be an NBA basketball player. Like Charles isn't playing golf every week. Like Peyton's got a lot of time to do whatever he wants, play a lot of golf. He's got that going for him.
You know where he's playing too.
What's that?
You know where he's playing?
No, where? Oh, wait. Can I say? Yeah. Augusta National?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
It's a good place to warm up for a match like this.
I would think so. I would think so. That's awesome. There are plenty of prop action for this KP. Here's a couple of interesting ones. I think these are all pretty bad. Make a putt from 30 or more feet. Charles Barkley, 4-1. Steph Curry and Peyton Manning, 1.5-1. What's the likelihood somebody makes a 30-footer on the PGA Tour, let alone one of these guys?
I mean, it could be 40-1. And I mean, what are the – you know when they put up – when somebody's 30 feet away and they put up a percentage there?
Yeah.
It's like –
I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to pull up the shot link putting chart here. Give me 30 seconds.
This is like a Spieth in 2015 number. And even.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. 4-1 or four. Are you kidding me? I mean, I guess it's throughout the entirety of the round. So you in theory, here's the other factor. There it's modified alternate shot. So it's not like everybody's going to have a 30 footer on every hole. It's not like every team's going to have a 30 footer on every hole. So you're going to get what? I mean,
12 30 footers.
A PGA Tour pro is 7% to hit a 30 footer.
There you go. That's what I said. 7.
Yeah.
And that's a PGA Tour player.
These guys are much worse.
This is one of my favorite things is that I think it's a Mark Brody thing where he talks about how you think that the winner of an event makes like 10 30 footers, but the number like throughout the week of I think it was like 20 footers even that an average winner on the tour makes, it was like 3-4. I mean, it was so low, like one around. So yeah, don't take any of these bets.
holing off from off the green, Greg. So I guess this is maybe you get lucky, you hit one just into the fringe, you roll it in. Chuck is 6-1, Steph and Peyton 4-1. Again, I'm happy to book any of this action at these numbers.
Like maybe it happens, I guess, but is it going to happen one every six times? One every six times you play for Charles Barkley to hole off from, does it happen once in a year? Has he ever hold out from off the green?
Has he ever done?
I mean, these are, so I think these odds are just they're horrible odds.
Here's the most atrocious one. Hole out from 100 plus yards. Charles Barkley, 25-1. Steph Curry, Peyton Manning, 15-1. That would assume, Kyle, like, okay, so, you know, one out of every 16, Steph's going to hole out from 100 yards and out. So he's doing it once around. That's a joke.
I will buy and wear a Baker Mayfield jersey on this podcast for all of 2021 if Charles Barkley holds out from 75 or more yards. That doesn't even have to be 100.
Please, Charles.
Wow. Okay, book it.
Please, Charles, I beg of you.
This one here, the 100 plus yard, this is the Brady bet. This is on here because of what Brady did at
How far was Brady?
I think it was like 107 or something.
It was like 120, but it might have been closer.
That was the moment of the year. That was great.
But I got a question for you guys. Do you think if there was a bet that any of these happen, right? You got Charles Barkley, Steph Curry, Peyton Manning, three of those guys with these three bets, any one of the nine options, if it hits, what kind of odds would that be? So like somebody will make a putt from 30 feet. Somebody holes off from off the green. Somebody holes out from 100 yards. Any of those happen, it hit. What would those odds be?
I think it would have to be 10-1 for me. I want to see somebody put like a Twitter poll in front of Rick with Colin Morikawa's drive on 16 at the PGA and Brady's hole out, and for Rick to cast a vote for Brady's hole out as the moment of the golf beat.
And like do it unironically, just like, I believe that was the best shot of the year. I mean, listen, I expect Colin Morikawa to do what he did. Tom Brady to that point looked terrible. Charles Barkley was razzing him. That's how bad it was. And he holds it. Unbelievable. So maybe definitely the most surprising shot of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, time for picks. So we've been kind of alluding to this. Steph Curry, Peyton Manning, -170, Greg, Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley, +140. You mentioned having a little bit of trouble getting to a pathway for a Phil Charles victory.
Yeah. See, this is the part that I've been dreading for the whole show, because I'm about to bet against Phil Mickelson playing with three other guys that aren't PGA Tour players.
You're not supposed to bet against the pro in an amateur game.
Right. And you get the odds too. So, I mean, this is Phil Mickelson. This is a legend of the game, right? He's won 44 times on the PGA Tour. He's won 5 major championships, and I'm going to go bet against him. And he's won recently on PGA Tour Champions. It's really hard for me to wrap my head around it, but this format is not good for them, which is probably why this match even happens and why it can even work. It's because of the format.
It's going to be so fun to watch Phil just get worn down emotionally over the course.
Because you know he'll show his emotion. He'll show emotion out there. He's going to be trying to coach up Chuck. Chuck, I need something.
That's a good point, though. Let me lay out the path to Phil and Charles winning this.
Hold on. This feels like a election night, Joe Biden wins Arizona situation. Right? Like, you got people coming on. Let me lay out the path. There's not really
the path to 270 goes through. Yeah,
these counties haven't reported yet. You know, like there's a lot of mail. Like there's a path. There's a path here. It's narrow. Here. Listen. Okay. Here's the path. And I think there's two big things that the public perception, which is what is driving these numbers, right? The public perception, I think, will mess up. One we talked about. One is the fact that I don't think Charles Barkley is as bad as people think he is. I think he's terrible at golf, but I don't think he's that bad. Also, people will think Steph Curry and Peyton Manning are much closer to the skill set of Phil Mickelson than they actually are.
Phil is a
billion times better than these guys. He wipes the floor with them. Okay. And Greg mentioned the coaching aspect of this. So I went back and I watched the match too. And Phil Mickelson told Tom Brady where to hit every single one of his putts. He was reading every single green for him. He was doing that. That is worth multiple shots around that Phil, that Steph Curry and Peyton Manning do not have access to. That right there is That's the path. And you're getting plus money on the pro.
So this is the biggest thing. I have, we've talked about what the difference is between PGA Tour players and guys like Steph and Peyton. We've talked about it on this podcast. What's the difference between PGA Tour players and Korn Ferry Tour players? Mm-hmm. The difference, the biggest separator of greatness in golf is not how good your good shot is. It's how good your bad shot is. And this team of Phil and Chuck has built in bad shots, bad shots that I don't even know if Phil Mickelson can escape. Well, and I think that's where the pathway, and that's where I think the numbers, and that's where I like the perception, all that, Rick, that you bring up, which I agree with. I just don't think it matters because the numbers don't affect the pathway, and the pathway right now is blocked by Charles Barkley. And I worry about those bad shots that he's going to hit.
In some ways, Phil's been training his whole career for this moment. Just recovery after recovery from horrendous shots.
That's true. Yeah. And I mean,
I'm going to pick Steph and Peyton reluctantly because it feels like such a sucker bet. I'm picking against a 5-time major champion with a freaking quarterback and a shooting guard. it's atrocious. Like, what am I doing? But I don't know. Like, the thing for me, like, Barkley just needs to not hit the ball in the water. He needs to hit it straight and just hit ground balls. Because if he does that, I do think that Phil could, like, close the distance between, you know, with the other two guys. And who knows? I mean, I don't know. It's not like maybe Peyton will be bad. I don't know how much he's been playing. I do know how much Phil's been. I mean, Phil's like the only known thing here, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Barkley being bad is known. Like, I don't know. I want to pick Phil and Barkley, but I'm gonna have to pick Steph and Peyton.
All right. We're going to find out. We're going to find out on Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Put a dent in your couch, hang out, and watch the match 3. For all of our American viewers and listeners, enjoy Thanksgiving week. For all our international viewers and listeners, also enjoy your week. We're thankful for all of you. All good. Greg Ducharme, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving. You can find
Thank you, Rick. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You can find
and all
Greg
of you listening
at The Real GFD, Kyle Porter. Happy Thanksgiving at Kyle Porter, CBS. Producer Jacob behind the glass. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. You can find me. Go ahead, Kyle.
Real quick, I just wanted to say thank you to Producer Jacob. He puts up with our nonsense, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. And I'm always hollering about just ridiculous things. And he does a great job. And he makes the show run. So in all earnestness and in all sincerity, I appreciate it.
That's well said, Kyle. I second that.
Producer Jacob is a saint, and we are very thankful for him. This has been the First Cut Podcast. Catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.